And I would like to read as my text from the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Well, let me just read the whole of from verse 20. Well, I think I'll start somewhere around verse 25. Now, before that, what has been happening is that Paul, formerly Saul, who had been teaching for a few years, was about to leave the area where I'd been staying for some time, and he was having a farewell message, giving his farewell message to the people in Asia. So he was speaking to them. If I might read from verse 22, he said, "And now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I might finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." He said, verse 25, "And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. I do not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose." He said, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." He now gave them a commandment. He said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." In verse 21, he said, "Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." Now this is actually where I'm going, and there's a reason why I read a few of the things before that. He said, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." I think I'll just stop there. Now, there are two things I want us to know before we read that verse 32 again. It said, verse 27, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." That's what he was saying. That is, as he was speaking the gospel of the grace of God, which he explained in verse 24, he said he did not shrink from declaring the whole purpose of God to the people. Now, having said everything that he has, because he emphasized in verse 31 that you remember that for the last 3 years, for the period of 3 years, night and day, he had been admonishing them with tears. Now, after everything that he had done so far, he's about to leave, so he's giving them a final message. He said, "And I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which," he said, "is able to build you up and to give to you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That is, before, now, let me put it like this. Now, Paul is saying that all these years he has been declaring something about God's purpose. There's something that he has been telling them that God was about to do. That he's now saying here that before they can inherit that thing that God is about to do in their life, he said the first thing they have to know is that they need the word of his grace that will build them up first before there can be a deliverance of that inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Now, put a hand there and then open with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Paul again is speaking here, Ephesians chapter 1. There's just one thing I want us to note. He was talking about, I read from verse, it was a prayer I was praying, verse 15. It said, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Now, verse 18, he said, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? That's what I'm going to again in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? He said, these are in accordance with the working of the might of his strength, which he wrought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, I have read these two portions of scriptures to bring out a particular point to us. And I believe that it is very relevant that we understand this at this point in time. Now, there is something I want to read again before I go on and begin to run off with my comments. That's Luke, is Mark chapter 4. We read it before, but I just want to lay an emphasis on it again. Mark chapter 4. That's verse 26. It says, Jesus was here speaking about, we have read this again and again, about different, that's one of the parables that Jesus used to teach the matters of the kingdom. Now, if you read from verse 26, he was speaking about a principle that operates in the kingdom of God. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows. How? Himself does not know. In verse 28, it says, the soil produces crops by itself. That's the operating principle here. That is, the crop by itself, the soil by itself will produce the crops. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, note that word, when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, one thing I want us to note here is something that is important about the operation of the kingdom of God. Let me explain something. Like I have said to us before, I only teach principles that govern the kingdom of God, not principles that govern the world. And it's important that we understand that the kingdom of God is energized, that is, functions by the operation of the power in God's word. If you remember, in Hebrews chapter 12, let me just mark here and then quickly rush over there. I'm going to pass some comments here, but let's just read some of these scriptures before. So not Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, not chapter 12, please. All right. Now, he was saying, I'd like to back up a few verses so I can explain something. Verse 9, he said, there remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Verse 10, he said, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest. If you read the King James, he said, let us labor to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now, this is what I want us to note, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what I want us to... Now, let me just read the next line. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, one thing we need to understand about the operation of the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdom of the world is that the kingdom of God operates by the power of the word of God. Now, what I'm saying is this. Let me start by explaining this Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'll go back to the verses we read earlier. That when the Bible said that the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what he said. I'd like to explain the word living and active. Living, if you use the word living, you know, a lot of us think that God's word are commandments. That is, God says, thou shalt not. Let me give you the example I like to use is the woman that was caught in adultery. After Jesus had finished what he was going to do to everybody and had dismissed the crowd by the power of his word, he told the woman, where are your accusers? And the woman said that, I don't know where they are. Everybody is gone. He said, nobody condemns you. He said, no. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, if you look at that word where he said, go and sin no more, it appears as if he is giving her an instruction. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, a piece of advice, the way human beings would do it. That is, please don't eat too much salt. It might raise your blood pressure. That is, you are giving the person, you are advising the person. You are giving some admonitions on how life should be. Now, so we misunderstand God when God is speaking. So when God says, go and sin no more, we think that he's advising you, per se, you know, like, please, oh, I don't think it would be nice if you continue sinning, but I recommend that you stop sinning. But what Paul is explaining to us here is that the word of God is not like that. The word of God is alive. It's able to give instructions. But beyond that, it can affect the instruction that he has given. Do you understand the point I'm making? Okay, let me say it in another way. Now, when Jesus said to the woman, go and sin no more, there is a power in that word that is able to kill the ability to sin in that woman. Do you understand the point I'm making? Let's look at the issue of Peter. Peter saw Jesus on the waters and he said, Master, if it's you, bid me to come. And he said to him, come. Now, that simple word, come, was able to cause Peter to float on the waters as long as he held on to that word. What I'm saying is that God's word is not just a piece of advice, but it's an enablement to carry out what it is saying. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, if God tells you to do something, instantly he has put into you, by virtue of the entrance of that word, the ability to do the thing that he's saying. That is, if God says somebody should do something, the person does not have any excuse on this earth not to do that thing, because the word of God instantly overrules the excuses. Do you follow what I'm saying? If God says, move forward, and you say that there is a river, there is a Red Sea in front of me, what God expects you to do is that, despite the fact that the Red Sea is there, just continue moving. Because when you get to the Red Sea, by the power of that word that said, move forward, either the Red Sea will part or you will receive the ability to walk on the waters. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Now, the word of God is alive and active. That's what it means. That is, it does not just give instructions. It's able to energize the ability to carry out those instructions. That is why Paul said that it is God that is at work within you, not just to will, but also to be able to do his good pleasure. I want us to understand something there. There's one portion of scripture I like to explain this. That's open to the book of Ezekiel. I would like to just call what I'm talking about today your inheritance. And there's something I'm trying to get us to understand concerning it. Let's open to the book of Ezekiel. I want to read a short portion there, at the last portion of chapter 2. Now, what happened here? Sorry, the last portion of chapter 1. We'll go on to chapter 2 after that. Ezekiel had an experience, or a vision, a visitation, or something or the other. Now, if you read from verse 26, he began to describe what he saw. He described the fact that there was an expanse over their heads, and there was something resembling a throne, and all that, all kinds of jewelry that he was, precious stones that he was seeing there. Then, let me just, for time's sake, come down straight to verse 28. He said, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. He says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Now notice that. He didn't say, now we might imagine that he bowed down in worship, but really that is not what happened. What happened is that he was overwhelmed by the presence of that glory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like the Bible talks about the Solomon's temple on the day of dedication, that the priest could no longer stand. He said they couldn't stand to minister because of the glory that filled the temple. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? Now, in the same manner, this man has seen an expression of God's glory. And he described it and said, that was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down. You know, it was like, when people came to Jesus, they said, whom do you seek? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they fell backwards. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, there was an influence that was greater than them that caused them to fall. Do you follow me? Now, it's like, I think we should have understood that. No point explaining it further. Now, he said, after he fell down, he heard a voice speaking. What is the voice saying? Verse 1 of chapter 2. He said, then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. Now, I have explained all that to come to this verse. That a man fell by virtue of what was beyond him, yet to tell him, stand up, because I want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you while you are lying down. No, you just imagine this. You give somebody news and he has a spinal shock, whatever it is. all the person collapses because he hears a bad news or sees a sudden sight that was overwhelming. You cannot come to the person and say, stand to your feet. Do you follow the point I'm making? You know, when I'm talking about worry, I say, you cannot tell a man, don't worry. Worry is natural. Worry in itself, has no character. It's a natural thing. A man that has a problem should worry about it. Do you get my point? That's why Jesus said, all these things the Gentiles seek. It's normal for you to worry if you have a problem. But when you want to tell a man, don't worry, you must be giving him a reason not to worry. Do you understand what I'm saying? The good example, you are in my house at maybe 8:30. You came without a car and the bikes don't move at night. How do you live? And I live very far away from the main road. You can start getting worried about how you get home today. Then I now tell you, don't worry. I will drop you at home. You know, I have to qualify it. I can't just tell you, don't worry. Do you understand my point? I must qualify the don't worry. Don't worry, I will drop you at home. You understand my point? In the same manner, I'm trying to explain something here. When God came to a man that had fallen down by virtue of an influence that was beyond him, and he spoke to the man and said, stand to your feet. The man does not have the ability in himself, do you follow my point, to rise up. Look at what Ezekiel said happened there for the next verse. He said, as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. Did you notice that? That is, when God gives a word, immediately there's an enablement to fulfill it. Are you getting my point? That is, God gave this man an instruction that he naturally could not carry out. Look at it. First thing, he drained his own physical abilities by the appearance of his glory. And sometimes that is what happens if God gives you a vision, something that he wants to do. The first thing that might happen is that you will lose your, how do I say this now? That is, you will lose all, somebody give me a word. That is, let me say, you just lose faith, that is, lose hope in the fact that that thing can come to pass. But when you see the greatness of what he wants to do, that is, I don't know where I'm going to start. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, your natural ability to plan, to work out the means by which God will do something, suddenly it disappears from your eyes. I like the story I read once when there's this man, Nova Hayes, Kenny Higgins' wife and Nova Hayes were speaking, and she was just describing to him what they plan to do, you know, like, they've been in ministry for a few years and they learned a lot of things. They just want to start a small school, you know, where they can teach a few young men, maybe like 5 or 6 or 10, not just a few people, and teach them the principles of the ministry, so that they wouldn't make the mistake that a lot of people make. And she was just going to, as she was saying it, Nova Hayes just interrupted her and began to say, no, that what he's seen is a large school. He began to describe what was going to happen, that they will have a very big school, that their publications will circulate around the world, that students will come from every corner of the world, that they will turn out thousands. And as he was saying it, the woman just shook her and said, no, please. You get the point I'm trying to make? They had thought about settling down into a small thing. And then as she was narrating it to a man who had the vision of God, he said something else that was far beyond what they had planned. And the moment he declared it, you know, she, in her mind, collapsed before the presence of that glory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's the way God does it. God takes away somebody's personal abilities and then gives him a word. Now, let me tell you what. That word, you know, there's something Jesus said in, if you read them, I think John chapter 6, when he was speaking, he said, he was telling them some things about himself. You eat my flesh and all that and all that. And then, let me just flip over to it and so that we can correctly interpret what he's saying. I think that will be around verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit that gives life. If you read the King James, it said that gives life. My Bible says it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. Now, this is what that whole thing means. He's saying here that, you know, it was saying some things. This is the bread that came down from heaven, and people were having disagreements about some of the statements that he had made. And he was now explaining that the words that he's speaking by themselves, this is what he's saying, that the words, the physical words, the things you can hear with your ears, that's what he means by flesh. they don't profit anything. That is, they have no effect on their own. That it is the Spirit that gives life, that gives the ability to produce, is the one that gives healing, that gives substance to a man's being, is the Spirit that gives energy to something. All right, he now said that, but the words I have spoken, they carry the Spirit that impart life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the words themselves, physically, look at them, they mean nothing. But they have the ability to convey to you the Spirit that they carry. And when you receive it, you have life imparted into you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is, Ezekiel had fallen down under the influence of something that was greater than him. And a word came forth to Ezekiel. And that word, when he received it with his heart, caused the Spirit contained in that word to enter into him and set him on his feet. I'm going somewhere with these things I'm trying to explain here. So Paul was explaining that the word of God is alive and active, meaning that if God gives you a word, he's not asking you to obey it. Now, it's interesting. Let me say it again. If God gives you a word, that this is what I intend to do. You see, the Bible said about Moses, he thought that by his hands, God would deliver the children of Israel. Do you understand my point? God told him, I am going to deliver the children of Israel. And the mistake he made was that he thought that by his own hands, God will do it. But God is saying, no. All you are going to do for me when the time comes is to go to Pharaoh and say to him anything that I tell you to say. Do you get my point? And then later on, if you read many accounts, he said that your children will ask you, why do you do this? He said, you will say to them, we do this to remember that at a time God brought us out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand. Do you get my point? There was a teaching I did here some time ago on, I think, the mighty hand. I can't remember exactly what we're talking about then, but I remember now that we did a teaching. When I get home, I'll look for the tale and listen to it myself. Okay, that is, God brought us out of the land of Egypt by a mighty hand, not by the hand of Moses. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm trying to explain to us that you will see what God is going to do in your life at a point in time. And when you see it, when the dreams and imaginations begin to come to your heart, what the first thing that will come about is that you will look around you and there is no way by which you can do that thing. Do you follow me? But what is it that God wants you to do? That's actually my emphasis today. I'm talking about that inheritance. I've not forgotten the scriptures I read. I'm trying to just build up to the things I plan to say for today. What I have said so far is the word of God has power in itself. When it says something, it gives the ability to do it. When the angel came to Mary, he said that you will give birth to a son. And Mary said, how can this be, seeing that I know no man? Do you understand my point? Now, the angel now said to Mary, he said, no word of God shall be void of power. That is, other traditions call it that with God, everything is possible. But what he was saying is this. When God gives you a word that this is what is going to happen, there is nothing else that you need more than that word. Do you follow what I'm saying? That he said, seeing that I know no man, he said, you don't need to know any man. What you need to know is the word that I have given you. That word will encapsulate itself and become the man that you need. That word will be the midwife you need to take the delivery. That word is all you need. You don't need anything else. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Now, I'm still coming to something. All this is just a preamble to what really I want to say. So when Mary now said, therefore, let it be unto me according to your word. And that is what all of us need to learn to say. You see, let me define again to us what doubt is. Listen, anytime, like we said last time, that, you know, if you remember when I was speaking about the shield of faith, the Bible said that the shield of faith is to quench the fiery darts of the devil, of the evil one. We said the fiery darts are the arrows that have fire at their tips. That is, the aim of the arrow is to set fire on your soul. That is, what you need to do is to quench, not just to block the arrow now, but to be able to quench the fire at the tips of the arrows. Now, what's the fire? We said last time that the fire is to make the heart of a man melt. That is, when the children of Israel heard the report of Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says that Moses was commenting that they made the heart of the people faint. They made the heart of the people melt. Do you understand my point? And that is what fire is. It's words that are spoken to make you doubt what God is about to do. And Paul said that you need the shield of faith to be able to quench it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Now this, when the fire comes into a man's heart, what it does is that it causes them to doubt. Listen to me. Without faith, no man can step into the thing that God wants to do in his life. The Bible said that they tempted God in the wilderness and they limited the Holy One of Israel. He said, talking about Jesus, when he came to his hometown, he said he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sickly folks and they got well. That is, there was not much wrong with those people. The great miracles they used to see following the ministry of Jesus was not possible there. Why? Because they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Are his brothers not here with us? I know the sisters. In fact, the brother was sitting in my house yesterday. What is it that he has come to tell us now? And the Bible says that because of this, Jesus couldn't do much for them. And the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, he came with the power that he had, that he had used everywhere else, anointed of the Spirit to break bonds, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. He came to his own hometown. The people did not have faith. They did not receive his ministry. Therefore, he left their sick the way he met them. He left their cripples the way he met them. And he left their dead for them to bury. Do you follow my point? At other times, what he would have done was to go into the place where people are having a funeral, and he will interrupt the funeral because he has been anointed to do those things. But his anointing had no effect as long as the people had no faith in it. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is what God wants to do. If a man, if a woman does not reach out to it by faith, it will never come to pass in the person's life. Do you understand my point? Now, we said that last time. Now, therefore, it means that doubt is the reason why people never receive anything from the hand of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Doubt is the reason. Now, having said that, let me define. I said I wanted to define for us what doubt is. Listen to what doubt is. I have said it again and again, but I think children of God need to hear it and hear it until they know what it is. Doubt does not mean that your heart is shaking. That is not what doubt means. Doubt does not mean that I don't know what this man is saying. No. Doubt simply means every explanation you have why that word of God is not likely to come to pass. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, a man came. There was a time the king went and met Elisha. And Elisha returned, you know, Elisha brought the word of God forth and said that tomorrow, by this time, you will see a breakthrough that will happen in this city. I think we should just read that to you so that I can explain, because most of the time when I'm quoting it, all those things that they use, they don't make much meaning to me. 2 Kings chapter 7. No, it will be around chapter 5 or so. Okay, chapter 7, I'm right. Okay. Verse 1. Then Elisha said, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, you have to understand something. Just before now, the famine has become so bad. If you read verse 25 of verse 6, it says, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And a donkey's head, notice that, not likely to be the choicest part of meat you want to eat. And a fourth of a calf or dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. That dove's dung doesn't mean a scritter of dove. I think I read a commentary. I think it's a special kind of vegetable or something, food that they ate, all right? But definitely it was worth very little. But the famine was so strong, severe, that that was the going rate. Inflation was really bad. Now go to verse 7 again, in chapter 7, verse 1 again. It said, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Before that, a donkey's head was going for 80 shekels. Now he said, for a shekel, you get fine flour and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. This is the point I'm making here. This man brought forth a word about what God is about to do. But a man brought doubt. Now listen to what doubt is. He said, and the royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be? Then he said, behold, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Listen to what he's saying here. That is, this is the voice of doubt. Such things have never happened before. You know, just, let's become very practical. Let's assume now that today, if 20-year-old Mercedes Benz. You know, if somebody buys a 20-year-old Mercedes Benz, that will rejoice and shake his hand that God bless you, because that will be maybe a Bibu 200E. 200, something that came around 1985. All right, they were manufactured in 84, or that came out in 85. They think, very nice car. We're probably going for like 700,000 naira today. Then somebody now comes to buy tomorrow. The latest model E-Class shall go for 250,000 naira. Somebody said, I have seen economies turn around, but it does not ever happen like this. This is the voice of it. There is no reason for us to explain that this can happen. The thing that we know about the way even farming is turned around doesn't happen like this. The man had experience to call upon, and he said, even if God opened the gates of heaven, this thing cannot be. And the man of God explained to him, don't worry, you will see it, but because you did not receive the word of God, you do not have the right to eat from it. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Now, the same question, let me talk about that again. I need to talk about that a bit. The same question was what Mary had. And look, doubt can be okay before you get the word. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because he said, everything is possible if you be to him that believes. He said, do you believe that I can do this thing? The man said, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. That is, there is a legitimate cry that a man can cry when he does not have enough faith. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Now, so Mary came with that unbelief also. And the angel said, you will bear a child. He said, apparently maybe you are getting the address wrong. Look at me. This is Mary. You understand? I am not married. I do not know any man. And the angel said, don't worry. No word of God will be void of power. With God, everything is possible. Then she said, let it be to me according to your word. What I'm saying is this. The voice of doubt from the mouth of Mary is simple. The explanation for this thing not happening is the fact that I don't know any man. I have not been sleeping with any man. How come you are telling me I am about to be a child? No, you have to understand, she understood what the man was saying, the angel was saying. He did not say, you will conceive and you will give birth to a child one day. I mean, she was expecting that anyway. She was engaged to be married. Who's getting engaged to be married is not hoping that one day she will conceive and be a child. But she was telling him that, look at it, you are about to be a child. He said, come, you must be confused. Get your ultrasound scan ready again and come and scan this uterus. There is nothing inside. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And then she explained to him the reason why that word cannot come to pass. And he now gave her a superior argument, that is, once God says something, there is enough power in that word to override every other reason why it shouldn't come to pass. Doubt is when you hold on to the reason why it should not come to pass. What I'm saying is this. Doubt is reasonable. Did you hear what I said? Doubt is reasonable. Let me say it again. Doubt is actually much more reasonable than faith is. If you want to argue reason and have explanations, I told you once I was talking with a man, and he sat down and began to explain to me why I've made the mistake of residing in Enugu. That is a great mistake that I made by residing in Enugu. Look, the man began to explain, giving all his facts, figures. You know, he went on and on and on. By the time he finished, all that was in my heart is that there is nothing here that compares to the circumstance of Joseph in the land of Egypt. Do you get my point? Now, that is, there is only one thing that I had that is superior to everything that he had, and that is the testimony of the word of God. Do you get my point? All right? He said that the righteousness of thy testimonies are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. That is, it is when I use the testimonies of God, which I have understood, and superimpose them upon physical circumstances that I have life. That is, when my environment says something, I hold the story that God has told me, by which he said that these things have been recorded for your learning. When I hold on to that thing that God has said, then I have enough life to overcome my environment. I am explaining that doubt has a mixed meaning. Doubt is very reasonable. However, faith is that a man knows the voice of doubt, quite all right. Mary had the voice of doubt. It's okay. But faith is that she now said, despite what I know, despite what I have experienced, despite what everybody else around me is experiencing, but there is a word you claim to have brought from the presence of God. Let it be unto me according to that word. Now, remember, we started by saying that the word of God is alive and is active. that when God wants to do something, how he brings it forth, the first thing he does is to give a word. Listen to that. And that doubt is the reason why we will say that that thing is not likely to happen. Let me tell you the truth. The people that are sensible the most, who love you the most, will be the ones to take you out of God's will. Did you hear what I said? That is, those who are sensible the most, who love you the most, are the main people you should be afraid of when it comes to doing the will of God. I hope you get my point. You know, it's important that anytime you are receiving counsel, the person has a story of God to tell you. If he does not have, please throw his counsel behind your back. He must have a story of God to tell you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I told the story once that we heard the story. The one guy wanted to get married, and he's, you know what they call, for those of us who are, most of us know whether we're medically enlightened or not. This is a common thing these days. The young woman was AS, and the young man was AS, and they knew. And somebody now said that, how wise it is it? We were discussing. You know, I know that's a risk. I said, come. The man said he can take you to the point where God spoke to him that he should marry this girl. Are you crazy or something? That kind of thing, I will never, never open my mouth to explain to him that he might be making a mistake. Nonsense. Because the only explanation I have, for him is based on human knowledge. It cannot stand the voice of God. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I told you again, Terry Mines was going to marry Jackie. Jackie explained to him that she is not able to bear children. And she said, who said so? That was all he told her. Who said so? Doctor, he said, forget it. In that case, the doctor does not know anything. Because I have a word, I have the testimony of God, that this is the God that I serve, the one that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, let me tell you what that means. If that word goes forth, Ezekiel was explaining here, and Gabriel was also telling Mary, that when that word comes forth, when he gets there, he creates a new uterus, a new fallopian tube, whatever it is that he needs. You see, anytime I'm teaching medical students, I always make sure, I say jokingly in class, but it's always from the bottom of my heart, I say, except by a miracle, because miracles happen. If you read books, a book like Robbins, when he's talking about cancer, I'll tell you that miraculous, in quotes, like a joke, disappearance of tumors do happen. You know, they call it spontaneous regression of cancers. I said, that is the overriding effect of the power of God on medical knowledge. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the word of God has ability. If he tells a man that in 10 years' time, you and I will have this discussion again in Lagos, and the doctor tells him that you have acute myelocytic leukemia, you will not live before to the end of this year, the man will begin to make arrangements to be in Lagos in 10 years' time. They said you will die. He said, somebody, they brought the word of God to me that said, in 10 years' time, we will have this discussion again in Lagos. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, Abraham said, I am old, and my wife is postmenopausal. In fact, when they told Sarah, she laughed and said, you must be kidding me. Women my age, that's a joke. Now, I'm trying to explain that is the voice of doubt. But God said, no, indeed, God always answers it. If you bring doubt from a sincere heart, that God, maybe you have overlooked this fact, that I'm 90 years old, or I'm almost 100, Sarah is 90. He said, no. Sarah indeed will bear you a child. After that, you mustn't answer him back. Listen to me, you must not answer him back a second time. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Once that word has been spoken, get this point. What will happen is that the word of God will crystallize into a good supply of estrogen for Sarah's flesh. Physically, she will begin to look attractive. You've forgotten the age she was when kings were chasing after her. That is the effect of the word of God. I told somebody that the word of God, look, all this one, they said that when you want to go for interview, dressed like this, I said, they are good. I'm not saying they are bad. But Adam, naked, straight from the Garden of Eden, into any interview room, will get any job. Adam, straight from the Garden of Eden, naked, he had not before the fall, covered with God's glory. When he stands in the presence of any employer, he will get any job. I am talking about the power of the word of God. You see, I have said all this, like I told you, this, I'm just trying to get across to something. I've not even gotten to where what I wanted to get to yet. But I want us to bear it in mind that the principle of the kingdom of God is this. What creates effects in your life is the spoken word of God and nothing else. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you will not get anywhere because you know somebody. You will not get anywhere because you were born in a particular place. You will not get anywhere because you have a certain kind of background. You will not be hindered from getting anywhere, even if you had all the opposite of all this. What makes the difference is that there is a word of God that has been infused into your being. And Jesus said that this is the way it goes. You hear the word physically, it may not make sense. He said, but there is a spirit that they throw into your being. If you grab hold of that spirit, it will give life to your system. We have discussed what life is before. Life means that if the man could not see, life enters his eyes, begins to see clearly. Better than those that had good eyes before. You understand the point I'm trying to make? If they tell you that this person cannot conceive, life means that where people are conceiving once, you'll bear three. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, when the word of God comes, listen to me, it creates what? Life. Therefore, if this is the truth, let's go back to where we started from. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Paul was saying, we read that at the beginning. He said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance amongst those that are sanctified. Now, listen to what we are saying here. Sorry, verse 32, not 35. Verse 32. He said, I commend it to God and to the word of his grace. That this word, what it does is that it first builds you up and then by itself delivers to you your own inheritance. Now, you have to get this point clear. That we have said it again and again, different portions of this our teaching that we had so far, that there is something that God has created for you. There is something that God has created you for. There is something that he has placed in you that only you can do and nobody can beat you in doing it. And listen, there is a place he's taking you to that nobody in your lineage got there ever before. Listen, I mean, if you see, just go and trace everybody that you knew that's related to you. Anywhere they got to is too small compared to the place you are going to. Because when God encounters a man properly, like Solomon, he will tell you that the wisdom I'm about to give you, nobody before you has ever had it. Do you follow the point that I'm making? That is what is called the inheritance. That is, this thing is born out of God. He said, the wind bloweth where he listed. He was talking about that the one that is born of the Spirit. That he was not, no, let me quote what I want to say correctly. That this one is not born of the will of God. Do you understand my point? He was not born of the will of the flesh. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, what God is bringing to birth was not born according to what flesh can produce. I'm trying to explain something here. That you see, if you look at it, maybe, you know, I like our situation, we should preach from it. You are a Nigerian. If you open your mouth and tell somebody that when I'm through, the gates will be small. You know, the person will laugh. First thing, he looks at you. He says, maybe you've not checked the closest signboard to you. This is Enugu. In Nigeria, West Africa, can anything great come out of Nazareth? Do you follow my point? But Paul is saying, there is an inheritance that God has prepared, which is that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not yet entered into the heart of men. Let me explain what that means. That anything that you can think about, you know, the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly far above all that you can ask or what? Or think. Imagine. Exceedingly far above what you can ask or think. Imagine. Which means, therefore, anything you have ever thought about is far beneath what God is planning to do. Did you hear what I'm saying? Anything a man can conceive and discuss with you is far beneath what God can bring to pass in your life. And that's what Paul is describing as what the inheritance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I have explained all this that I've said before now to get to this point. That inheritance does not ever come by planning. That it is not born of flesh. That is, the man that will get there will not be able to explain to you how he's going to get there. Did you hear what I said? For example, let's take Abraham again. They tell him that you'll be the father of many nations. Somebody calls him and seals them down. He said, are you planning to take another wife? He said, no. What did you say again? Father of many nations. You're not getting the point, Abraham. I said, do you intend to adopt the children? He said, no. You are going to be father of many nations. He said, no problem. You're on your own. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, the man has no other explanation than God said. Do you follow what I'm saying? Therefore, since we know that it is by the word of his power that these things are going to come to pass, Paul said, therefore, what a man needs to do is to hold on to God by the word of his grace, that it is that word that will build him up and then give to him the inheritance. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, waking up early in the morning, like the way that he said, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. It says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now, if you have not read that before in the Serious Bible, get that here now. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. That's the correct rendering of that portion of the scriptures. I'm not saying he doesn't give to his beloved sleep. He gives to them sleep. Alright? Alright. He's saying, in peace will I lay me down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. But what he's saying here is that painful labor is not necessary. That there is something that God gives to you only while you are asleep. And as long as you are awake, you won't get it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, it is important that a man takes time out to rest. Now, I'm explaining something here. That where we read that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like this. The man does what? Plants seed into the ground. The earth by itself produces. Now, I said that the inheritance that God is going to bring to birth in your life is going to come by a manifestation of the word of God. That what you need to do, listen. We read it earlier, let me just flip back to it. Hebrews chapter 4. What you need to do is to labor to enter into the place where that word can have effect. It said, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Said, let us therefore be diligent to enter. If you read the King James, let us labor to enter into that rest. That is, what you need to do that will cause something great to come about in your life is not to strive for something great. Did you hear what I said? What you need to do is to labor to enter into God's rest. What is God's rest? A place where every word that God gives to him is reasonable. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, he walks full of persuasion that what God has said will definitely come to pass. Let me tell you something. I was explaining something to us the last time. That when God gives the word is alive and active. It engineers events to cooperate with that thing that God has said, as long as you hold on to that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's go back to the issue of Peter. Peter was on the waters. Based on one word. What is that word? Come. As long as he looks at the word, come. The principle that says that objects like Peter go down into water stopped working. Physical things began to cooperate so that the word that Jesus gave could come to pass. Do you follow me? It was only after he took his eyes away from that word that things began to go wrong. Listen, a lot of the principles of success we learn in life, they are good, but only for men who are sinking. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You can teach Peter how to swim. Why? Because he's about to sink. You can teach Peter how to dive only because he's about to sink. If he were holding on to the word of God, it would be relevant whether he knew how to swim, are you getting my point? Or he knew how to dive, or he knew how to jump. It wouldn't make any difference. Listen to me, no matter how foolish you are in business, if God has given you a word of prosperity and you are holding on to it, the day they want to con you, that the con man is about to arrive, all right, and come and deceive you out of all the money that God has given you, that day the man will have accident on the road and die. You know, I'm always talking about that. You know, sometimes wicked people, that's the only solution to them. I hope you know. I'm telling you the truth. That is out of your sleep, a man decides to deceive you so he can invest money somewhere. As soon as you put the money in there, what he thought was deception suddenly will become the sensible thing. Because he will find out that he had misjudged. And that what you put your money into is now cooperating to fulfill the word of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me tell you the story of this man. Demas Zakharian. This man was a dairy farmer. And then the way they used to do things, you go and buy dairy cows, you know. Now, normally they have specialists who knows which cow to buy and which one not to buy. Which one is good and which one is bad. He used to go with one specialist, the Spirit of God. The word of God came to his fathers before they left their nation, Armenia. That when they get to America, he's going to prosper them and make them great. That word was an unbeatable word. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the man will get to the cattle fair and he will look. He said, what he used to do, just look around. Suddenly, one of the animals will begin to glow. You just see something like a glow on top of the animal. So you point to that one that I want that one. The experts will begin to look at it and say, look, you are making a mistake. Do you know why they price this animal so low? Because it's not worth anything. They will explain the reason why you shouldn't buy it. So the man will explain that one is what I want. Because in his heart, he saw a glow on the animal. And he had a walk with God by which he knows that when he sees that glow, something is about to happen. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So he will point his hand as he wants it. Then they discovered that every time he never made the wrong choice, he never used any expert. Do you get the point I'm making? There was a word, you know, last time we talked about the bread from heaven. That word was guiding his movement. It was guiding him to proper place. Let me tell you something. I know how God works. Once God puts a glow on that animal, at that point, genetic engineering commences. Look, you know the story of Jacob now. You know how he initiated genetic engineering. When he and, what's his name? Laban. We have an agreement. Jacob said, anything you say is okay by me. That is, the man was not wise in the matters of this earth. But he was wise in one thing. When it was time to go for the inheritance, the guy did everything necessary to get it. Do you get my point? Esau didn't want it. He will die to get it. When he encountered God, all he asked from God is, you will not go until you have blessed me. Because he understood that what a man needs is what? The blessing of God. He said it makes rich. No matter how foolish the man is, once the blessing of God is upon him, it will make him rich. So he knew he had the blessing. So they said, okay, these are your wages are going to be. All the speckled animals, all the striped animals, you will take. No problem. You collect tricks, put stripes on the sticks, and put it in front of the animals while they meet. And animals that have no stripes in their generations will begin to give birth to striped animals. What is that? Genetic engineering. Let me tell you what. There is social engineering. There is economic engineering that God can do when he has put a virtue on a man. And the fellow makes a wrong decision. God says, okay, now rearrange everything to fit his decision. You know, there's this joke I've told once or twice before. When a very big man is dancing, the musicians will change the drum to match his legs. You go to party. Oga Obaz, the president, comes out to dance. And they are playing, dudun, 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 and the man is just going like this. The musician will look and he will whisper to the judge, he will just be beating, boom. When Oga carries leg, they will beat it. Why? Because the man is blessed. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen to me. Before you start reading How to Grow Rich, the first thing you need is I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Because once you have that word, you make a decision, they will rearrange economies to fit your decision. That is, maybe you decide to go and somebody between you and your friend, you foolishly decide that one day you are going to build a factory in Enugu for goods that are made exceedingly cheap in China and sold all over Nigeria. So that the cost of your own is now 3 times the cost of the one imported from Asia. The day you commission the factory, one man will wake up somewhere and ban imported goods from Asia. You hear what I said? That's how God does it. That's how He does it. When He has put the blessing on somebody, that is the anointing that God will place upon you. It is not a matter of shout, I am anointed. No. The events around will cooperate with that anointing. That is why Paul emphasized, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. That is when a man, when a woman has contacted that word, anywhere he goes, events cooperate to make him succeed. You know, this is the example I give all the time. I don't have anything against women, even men too. But I have this thing about marriage. What will guarantee you success in marriage is not the 10 principles on how to make a woman happy. There was a book I bought when I was in school, long ago, Choosing to be Close. I thought it a very nice book. I bought it and read it. Very nice. Then I grew up as a Christian and I read it and threw it away. So this man is not teaching the scriptures. He's not teaching the word of God at all. At all, at all. This one he has described here is not God's word. Because it described how you negotiate and not placate. It's important you negotiate because, when he finished, the flesh profits nothing. That's what I just thought about the book. I threw it anyway. Because what guarantees success is the word with which you step into it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is not the mechanisms at all. It's not the mechanisms. It's the word of God. Now, we are saying that there is this inheritance that is given birth to by that word. So what a man is there for is to labor to enter into the rest, Paul said. That is, when you have entered into God's rest, everything will cooperate to make the word of God come to pass. Let me tell you what. You know, you must have heard me say it before. Most of the steps that Joseph took, that we are calling the steps to greatness, that you analyze, you know, they were taken in confusion. Do you understand my point? They were taken in confusion. He didn't plan that these are the 5 steps. When you're going before Pharaoh, you shave your beard. In all those ones that, you know, you've heard people say that dress for where you are going. That if you are going before Pharaoh, you shave your beard. When Joseph was shaving his beard, do you think he had a choice? They dressed him up to go to Pharaoh. Nobody discussed with him, this stupid slave. Before he entered Pharaoh's presence, you know he was a non-entity. The guys, okay, come. Pharaoh said, now. If he wasn't ready, they would drag him. If he needed to have a bath, they would dip him inside water and wash him up and bring him out because he had to appear before Pharaoh. It was when he finished from the presence of Pharaoh that the men began to bow for him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? A lot of men that you are analyzing their lives and giving them as examples took those steps in absolute confusion. Did you hear me? You know, again, let me get back to it. I always say it. Most men that married well didn't hear from God. No, I know, I'm always warning you people. Listen, most women that married well didn't hear from God. They didn't see any vision. Do you get my point? What matters is not whether you saw vision or you heard from God. I have seen people who heard and who saw and nothing happened. At the end of the day, now, this is one of my tips that I preached somewhere recently. As people say, the moment I saw her, I knew. I said, yes. I was listening to the table, me, I was laughing. I was going to say it to her. That most of the ones you knew, the moment you saw her, didn't come to pass, so you have forgotten. You know, there are many no's you know every day. You know what I mean? You go, I just knew the moment I saw it. But then after some day, you found out you were wrong. So you forgot. Then the one that came to pass properly, you think, yes, I knew it. You didn't know anything. Are you getting my point? You didn't know anything. I'm trying to explain to you that here we're not talking about defining accurately some steps. We are saying that when God's word is working on your behalf, mistakes that you make will turn out to be avenues for blessing. Do you get my point? The place your car breaks down will become a place of appointment. Look, that's why between Baba God and I know they grumble. No matter how wrong the thing goes, I say, well, something indeed is about to happen. Maybe God has an appointment here. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I think you should read this book. It will be nice. The Frank Peretti series, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. It's fiction, quite all right. But there are certain things there that, you know, it's remarkable to me. A man is trying to start his car. He's trying to start his car. Meanwhile, the angels are organizing for him to pick up somebody who's coming. So, no, the car is going on. Then suddenly, one angel pulls out his sword and dips it into his bonnet. And everything goes wrong with the car. So the man says, what's wrong with this car? He's trying to kick the car. Meanwhile, the angel is sitting on the bonnet and says, this car is not going anywhere until that guy appears. And then the guy appears and the angel pulls out the sword from the engine. The engine starts. There was another one. I can't remember all the stories now. The man was trying to look for a place. One angel just put a small screen over his face. He kept on missing his road. And he kept complaining to his wife, what is going on? Where is this place again? He couldn't remember. Then the lady was supposed to pick up appeared. And one angel just took his head and turned. He said, pick her up. Of course, he didn't know anybody was talking to him. He just said, where's that girl going to this night? He stopped and picked her up. You see, I like reading stories like that because it helps you know that that's how life goes. The word of God will just by itself be arranging things to fit where you are supposed to get to. I hope you are getting my point. I keep on leaving the main thing I want to say. The main thing I want to say again is that Paul said, labor to enter into that rest. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That is what should be your greatest appetite. Is what? The word. You know, in life, we have a lot of things that worry us. These days, his own video, you know? Brown, are you amongst them? No, students don't have time for own video. No, that's it. Gossip, magazine, gist, all kinds of things. Newspapers, I'm not saying they are evil in themselves. But listen, I commend you to God, Paul said, and to the word of his grace. That when you contact the word of God, that is what will bring you up above everybody else. You know, when I was in school, I used to tell people, no, even after I left school, that if I'm supposed to lead all of you, I better read more than the rest of you read, so that when I come, I have something to say that the rest of you don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that is the same principle about success in the kingdom. It is having the word of God in your mouth. Paul said it like this, let the word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You see, the emphasis I want to drum in today is that success in the kingdom of God is determined by the release of grace. You know, we describe what grace is. That grace is the manifestation of God's power in the direction of the people that are holding on to his word. You follow me? That is, I get on my knees, I wake up in the morning, I face every circumstance, and I begin to declare the word of God towards that circumstance. That is what will bring victory. It is not whether I know people. Do you follow me? That is why you need to be filled with the word of God. Because you have to understand that the Bible said that his kingdom rules over all. And that angels, they hearken to the voice of his word. Not to the voice of God, but to what? The voice of God's word. That we have spoken at length that God has his champions. He has people he has sent on the earth to come and do certain things for him. Everything that God has said to you that he is going to accomplish through your life, the way he is going to accomplish it, let me say it again, is by manifestation of his word. That is, when you have a problem and somebody is trying to oppress you, you don't make phone calls. What do you do? You wake up in the morning and declare, I am far from oppression. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When they tell you that this is the reason why you need an American visa badly, because things are getting very bad, and what hope is there for this country? And they keep on telling you that. You say, the young lions may hunger, but they that seek the Lord will never be in want of anything good. That is the answer. And let me tell you, when you say that word, listen, It is not, you know, it's not like the communists say that is the opium of the masses. No. It is the salt of the masses. Do you get what I'm going to say? It is the, that word has power. What it will do is that it will cause food to come in your direction. For every, let me say it like this. For everybody that runs out to go and earn a dollar, you will sit home and earn 100. I mean, sit at home. Why? Because there is a word that you spoke. Let me tell you what. It's later on in life you will look back and see how it happened. You can't plan it. That's what I want you to understand. You can't. Most of the plans you will make as a child of God are going to collapse. When they have collapsed, let me tell you how you look. It has happened to me and I know how to respond. God has taught me that one very well. You rejoice, you respond with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Look, because if it was born of the Spirit of God, it can never collapse. Do you follow me? So those are manifestations that God is not here. And like I say, He takes away the first to do what? Establish the second. Some of the things that will bring people to greatness, they will stumble into it by accident. I've told you the story before of Michael Dell. You know Michael Dell, Dell. Dell, Dell Computers. You've heard of Dell Computers, Dell, Dell. Dell didn't plan in life to start making computers. He was in school. He made a computer because he needed one. I heard the story. I didn't read it. But the way it was told to me is that the man made a computer because he needed one. So a friend said, can you do this for me? He said, why not? So he cobbled for a friend for a small fee. Another person said, how did you get this? This guy did it for me. Oh, like that. Before I knew what was happening, man, this thing is selling. Now, you know how rich that young man is. I don't know whether he has hit 40 yet. No, the guy is one of the richest men in America. I don't think he has managed to reach 40. Michael Dell. That is, he stumbled into something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He stumbled into something. The guy stepped out from school, said, no point finishing this education. You know, it's in Nigeria that we die with degree. If you don't have a degree, nothing can ever come good out of your life. And once your parents have helped you get a degree, especially with difficulty, you must use it to. If you don't use it, they go swear for you. You understand what I'm trying to say? After all these years, they spend money training you to become a doctor. You're not telling them that what you want to do is that you want to become a musician or you want to be a teacher. They'll go swear for you from the bottom of their heart. Because they think this is where prosperity is, a degree. But it is not. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm explaining that some of the things that will take you to places of greatness are going to happen by chance. But not some. We know the word some. Most. Most. Very few are really planned for. Very, very few. Very few. But what you call chance is what God is orchestrating personally. That is, He sat down and planned it. Long ago, He planned it. That's what He's saying. That what you think is small, what you think is just a hobby, what you think is a plaything, long ago, He planned it, that by this thing, I will bring it to prominence. You know, the major problem we have in life, you know, I told you, is doubt. You know what doubt is again? Doubt is very reasonable. You know, government pays pension, no? Once you start like that, that's the end, you have done. You know, God just says, they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. That is the end. Do you know, you know, my man's moral will always say that the richest place on earth is a graveyard. That is where you find the books that were never written, songs that were never sung, you understand? Artworks that were never painted, inventions that were never made, poems that were never written. He said, when you get to the graveyard, that is the richest place. For every casket you dig up, every corpse you see there, there's probably $1 billion worth of property that was never invented. It's been buried. But if you go and check, he had a very good job. He worked in a bank. I'm telling you, look, I've told you, the way Satan baits people out of great destiny is by giving them small things first. Look at Esau now. You know how Jacob removed that thing from him? He gave him food. So Esau, won't you eat? Esau said, you know, in my life, I've never seen $400,000 a month salary. This must be the will of God. He said, why is it the will of God? Can't it be the amount of money they are paying?
If I pay tithe on this one once, I will change the life of the pastor. And Satan too will agree. Yes, you see. God has a way of checking you. He will make sure one or two things go wrong and you have to bend a few rules to get by them. That's really proof that you are really committed to following Satan. At the end. Of course, the guy will live for a while in the job. Do well on the surface of the earth, fairly well, be a big boy, drive a big car, live in a big house, and then just like Methuselah, he dies and nobody notices anything he contributed to life. That's the way it works. No, that is the way it works. But that same fellow, if he had opened his mouth to sing a song, you know, like, but there at the beginning, don't worry, the song will not pay him 400,000 naira a month. Definitely it won't. I was listening to this man the other day, and as he was sharing his testimony, I was impressed by it. That's this man, Asueki, when he came to church here. He was describing how one single song that he sang, what's the name of that song again? Then there's one very popular song the guy sang. How the thing, look, the thing has given him a name on earth. Last time he won this O Awards. You know, the guy, the other day, I was hearing the story that they were going to do a function in one government house. And the governor said, Asueki must come here to sing. He told his men, whatever you have to do, do it. This guy, I must see him this night, that night of that function. So they went and told the guy, he says, he doesn't have time. He said, no, you don't understand. The governor said, whatever it takes, you must come. The guy said, okay, it will take 1 million naira. So they paid him 1 million naira. So he came, sang for 10 minutes, and that was it. He said, the commissioner of whatever it was, the commissioner that was in charge, said, no, 1 million naira. He went and told the governor, we shift the program so this guy can sing some more. How can he sing 10 minutes and 1 million naira has finished? But that was it. So he sang one or two extra songs, and that was it. 1 million naira in his back pocket, and went back home. He said he sang. The one woman was so blessed by his song, she just carried 5 million naira and dashed him. Said, thank you very much for singing. He has a BSc in accounting also. If it was people like, no, they'll be doing ICAM by now. Institute of Chartered Accountants. Hi! That is a great... Oh, when I look at them in Lagos, I always shake my head for the young men and young women. What are you looking for? Work in a bank? That's what you need. I can look. You can't account anything. You understand my wife? I live with an accountant. I know what I'm saying. My wife is an accountant. Hey! He won't die because of ICAM. Go to Lagos. You will see them. Young men, young women, they will pack a small briefcase and come and stay in the school. I'm serious. These are things I say. You see towers hanging in a school in Lagos because you can't go home. You wake up at night, brush there, sit down there, use matches, you can't do lantern, everything. Why? I can. If you can't be an accountant, I can, you know? You see? At the end, what is the man looking for? Job. Job. I'm not saying it's bad to be an accountant, but job. At the end, of course, you know what the Bible calls the bread of painful labor, sorrows. That's what I told my wife. I said, this bread shall not enter my household. When you be coming back home at 10 p.m., I said, not, God will ask me that. Did I give you a wife for this purpose? And I will say, no. I said, baby, I will come home. Just be marrying me and taking care of your child. No, it's true. Breakthrough will come to meet you in that sitting room. Anyone that takes me out of my house at 6:30 in the morning. That time now you don't wake up 6:30. Hey, sweetheart, please, can you help me warm the car? Well, hi. In my mind, this is against Psalm 127. It's true. It is vain to wake up early in the morning. And then somebody comes to your house. I say, where's your wife? I say, she never come back. What is the time? 11 o'clock. I say, baby, the time has come. It shall come to pass that you shall abandon this job. So one thing she said, it is the will of God. I'm telling you the truth. The bread of painful labors, it is not good. It is not good. These blessings shall follow, overtake, shall chase after me. That's the one I like. Are you getting the point I'm making? One day somebody said, what does your wife do? I said, she's a housewife. I'm very happy with that one. No, it's good. I said, just be reading book to be able to become intelligent, just to develop yourself in life. Be reading book. But this one of, wake up, we go to Lagos, you will hate ICAN.
And every year it becomes more difficult. And you feel one like this, you have to repeat everything. Me, I've never had sympathy for everybody. I said, if you are doing it for anything more than the job, then I will pray for you. But if you are looking for work, then once you get this, I can, your destiny. You know, I said, that is not the will of God. Listen, most of the men that own those banks never went near ICANN. Sure, you know. They didn't go near the place. Intelligent people always work for those who are not intelligent. You don't know that? The ones that they couldn't make the grades, they will hire all the people that make the grades. Those ones will be laboring for them, slaving money afternoon and night, and they'll be going home feeling very happy that, yes, I have a good job. Idiots will not ask themselves, the man who is paying me money for this good job, what does he have? After this in life, I don't want a job. I want prosperity. You know, there's a difference between a job and prosperity. When God has blessed you, you are blessed. And I'm explaining to children of God that comes by the operation of the word of God. Once the word of God has been spoken into an environment, eventually you will find events beginning to play. Events will play to bring you to the place that God has sworn that he will bring you to. Are you getting my point? That's just the way God works. He will anoint you in secret. But openly, everybody will know that there is something on this guy that is different. Anytime you are planning for your future, please listen. Don't plan to be a salary earner. It's a very terrible it's a terrible thing. Do you get my point? You'll be believing God for a salary. Why don't you just believe God to pay a salary? Do you follow my point? My dream, when I'm thinking, is that I want to be able to say, the official car I give my guys, you know, it's each one of them drives an E-class. The top guys drive E-classes. The middle range boys are the ones that drive, what's the name of that one, Senior Bora? Is it Santana? Which one? Passat, yes. The intermediate level boys, that's what they drive. Even if I'm driving a Golf, I don't care, but at least all I know is that all these boys, if I sneeze, their tire will leak. You know what I mean? Just sneeze. Because you are the one putting air in the tire. Everything will all leak. That is a better way to live. You know, rather than getting up in the morning and 6:30 you're out of the house. Do it because you love it, not because if I don't do it now, this job. Are you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to explain to us that there is an inheritance. It is not common. Do you follow my point? Look, when you see everybody going in one direction, just know they are wrong. Because broad is the way that leads to death, to destruction. And many are they that follow that road. But the one that leads to life is very narrow. And few be they that find it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I asked my wife, which to tell her then. Some of the things I will say, that this is how God ordained marriage to be. Say, are you saying that all these other people are wrong? I said, it is possible for only two people to be right out of millions. Joshua and Caleb alone were right in a congregation of millions of people. Listen, narrow is the way that leads to life. There are very few people that find it. Very few. Look, that is why most people on earth, and listen, when they sit you down, they are always very reasonable. That's the voice of doubt. Most people on earth are nothing but salary earners. If they live here and go to America, they will still be slavery. That's my own combination of slaving and laboring. All right? They will be slavering there for salary. No, I've said it. My covenant with God is that my generation will not say they did not hear that I came. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That they will know that I came. That is, you know, when it's my birthday, we will be traveling all the way from Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, London, New York. I'm telling you, everywhere, Australia, South Africa, they are coming. Say, why? It's Banky's birthday. If I was earning a salary. Look, right now, I don't care that I'm not earning big salary. I don't want. You understand my point? Those days when I was finishing my postgraduate residency, people say, I want to look for a job in another company. I said, me, work for another company, God forbid. I said, I don't want it. And why? I said, you don't get the point. The guys pay you a lot, but they also own you a lot. You know, not owe you. Own. I said, look. I said, I can't take that. No, there were jobs I couldn't take. That, it wasn't a matter of money. I was earning one measly and hungry amount of money. I told my wife how much it was so that when she finished marrying me, she won't say that this guy's salary is very slim. You get my point? No, it's true. And I knew what the next physical cash was going to be, and I was not worried. You say, all companies employing people. No. What I want from them is one day you'll be in trouble, I'll be the one to come and deliver you. Not that I wake up in the morning, MD is coming, I'm not telling yes or why, because he's paying me in petrol dollars. God forbid, but it's an abomination. I'm a great man, you understand? I look small now, I'm telling you the truth. But as you see me, so MD of Shell, one day we bow when I'm passing. Say, our God has come. You understand the point I'm trying to make? That is why I refuse to take some jobs. No, I like the university job I took. It's the perfect will of God. You understand my point? I don't care how much they pay us. I don't care. I like that one. Because it gives me the freedom I need to do what God really wants me to do. Nobody will tell me when to wake up. Do you get my point? God has determined that in this life, I should set when people wake up. Not somebody else telling me when to wake up. I hope you understand. I am explaining, however, that whatever be the great thing that you can imagine, God will take you far above that, far beyond that. But the only thing that you need to do is to enter into his rest. That is, you're not afraid of anything. Whenever there is a challenge, you get up and speak a word in that direction. Ah, was I about to break out? I said, no, the Bible said that he maketh wars to cease. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? That when they tell you that, again, if you want to have two children, it is good. But don't ever say in the front of God that it's because of the economy. Because the blessing of God, they do what? They make rich and they don't add sorrow. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And it is blessed for a man to have a quiver full. So, in fact, to become richer, just have more children. Because God says, God, it's another one, $7 million to take care of this one. He will send it. I'm explaining that when people give explanations why something shouldn't happen, immediately have another word, which is supreme, which is far above the one that they have, which is the word of God. I give that word again as an explanation of why this thing will happen. Do you get my point? And once you keep declaring God's word like that, that is the power. He said the word of God is alive and it is active. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, it changes policies to bring to pass God's word on your behalf. You follow me? Yes. So you keep declaring that word. Listen, that's why you need to soak yourself in it. Wake up in the morning, chopping the thing. When you are driving around, let it be blasting in your ears. I know what I'm saying. The way I like doing it, carry a small book around. When they say, wait here, and somebody's coming, you want to see somebody, say, you should wait. Just pull out the book and be reading it. You will download revelations that will change it will change your destiny forever. You know them to download revelation? Yes. The day I downloaded Isaiah 66 verse 12, I can't forget. I was sitting down idly. You know, I was just idling in somebody's office, just reading a book. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. God knows I never run after money. It's against my religion. When I was earning 6,000 naira a month, I wasn't running after it. No, I'm serious. Look, people slaved to earn extra money. I was working part-time in a clinic that was paying me 9,000 naira. When my monthly salary in loot was 5,000, I resigned from that one because I couldn't sleep well. I'm telling the truth. I was talking to one of my very good friends. I said, some people think I'm crazy. You know what he told me? He said, I think so. I mean, he couldn't understand. Do you so hate Naira? No, I don't hate Naira. But man, I love my destiny. How can you? I won't be able to sleep well. Because of what? 9,000 Naira a month. What I used to think is 9,000 Naira a month. I used to think about it. So that's why I'm suffering like this. I said, no, that 5,000 they pay me in loot is good. I will eat with it. And bless the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with me. Listen to me, I didn't lose weight. Do you get my point? Yes, I didn't lose weight. I didn't become sick because I didn't have the 9,000 Naira extra. I still arrived to where I am right now. This is not where I'm coming to. You know what I mean? I'm on my way somewhere. We're just on the road. We're greeting on the road. We're traveling. Baby, am I wrong? No, I'm very right. Thank you. That's why you married me. Listen, there's nothing wrong with desiring great things. What you need is eye salve to anoint your eyes to be able to see where greatness is. And go and marry a great man of today who is in the entity of tomorrow. Hey, it's the truth. said it's good for a young man to bear his burden the day of his youth. He was very good. At least I can tell the story that time. So if somebody tells me salary is, I say, don't worry, don't need big salary. That 5,000, I used to buy books and tapes like a madman. I'm serious. Listen, one day, my mother said that my cousin reported me that all I spend my money on is on tapes. I said, at least I'm healthy. If I'm spending on medicine because I'm sick, you won't complain. No, true. That time my sister was ill. I said, that pack of Suproxin, it was Tarivid. 2,000 bucks is more than all the books I carried on this trip. Yet, these words inside this book, they guarantee health. Do you get the point I'm making? Buy the truth and don't sell it. Acquire knowledge, acquire understanding. That was my own. Look, till today, God knows my heart. I don't chase after money, run after money for what? Not for any other reason than the fact that I know that money is, money respects me. You know what I mean? No, I'm telling you, anybody always running after will not respect you. You know what I mean? You're always trying to obtain him, obtain from somebody. That's sometimes, oh, he has come again, obtain. You get my point? No, it's the truth. So, me and money, we have a good, healthy respect for one another. I'm telling you. The guy knows the time will come when God will tell him to pack in good measure, press down, shaking together, and come to my house. It's true. God is giving me as much as I can handle. So what I need to do is go to the word of his grace and be built up. Do you follow what I'm going to say? As I'm built up, then the gentleman too, he responds. Do you get my point? Healthy respect. Say, that is banking. Money will bow. Say, he knows that he can't insult me. I will spit on his head. Though I don't have any of it in my pocket, I will spit on his head and go away. I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. Why? Because I have a word from above that tells me that I'm above alone and I'm not beneath. And I know that no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. And that's what I'm just focusing my life on, walking uprightly. Do you get my point? I said, attach to this message your inheritance. There is a way by which it will come. Paul said, it's by the word of his grace. Do you understand what I have said so far? Listen to my brethren. You are going somewhere great. I want you to walk around with that mentality. I am not a small person. I am not an average person. I am a great champion that God has sent to the surface of this earth. My generation will not say they didn't hear that I came. It's not possible. No, it is not possible that they'll say they didn't hear that I came. No. Let me tell you, when you make decisions like that, that's when you are tested left, right, and center. That day, I tell you, God, is for sleep. I buy my sleep back with this 9,000 naira a month. I settle down for 5,000 naira a month salary. I will be eating with it. The worst that will happen is I will only buy white shirts. White shirts are very good when you don't have plenty of money. Buy like 3. I wash it all the time. And nobody knows. It's when you are going to buy all those multicolored shirts. I know that's the one he's always wearing. It's true. Too many colors, they will soon identify it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Hey, it's the truth. In fact, I never bought color shades until I got engaged. For what? No, really, for what? But like I say, it's a phase in life. Bishop Oedipo said, men are in phases. He said, life is in phases, and men are in sizes. Say, leave your size per time. I'm not competing with anybody. I thought, look, you. Years ago, no, the ability to be intimidated left my being long ago. That is, if I'm standing here, I trek down here with my bad shoes and sandals. And a young man my age drives down with the cleanest, latest model BMW. You know, I don't notice. You understand? I don't even notice. I might say, the car, this is a very beautiful car. Oh, it's yours. Oh, man, come on, this car is fine. I say from the bottom of my heart, I am not intimidated. If we are chasing the same woman, I don't feel like, hey, this girl will go grip for this guy. If she does, she's not mine. She's blind. It's the truth. Hey, no, I'm serious. No, that's the kind of person. Look, do you know the reason? I used to walk around with a kind of mad mentality. Look, ask my wife. She said, this guy, you are too full of yourself. She told me once. I know, look, you're driving a car, so I'm intimidated. God forbid, but if God could open your eyes, you know, like the servant of the prophet. He said, Lord, open his eyes. The prophet was going alone. Am I right? That is, if you look around him, it was just him and his servant. There was no guard, nothing. And the Syrians came with their chariots and their soldiers and their army. So the young man panicked. My master, alas, how shall we do? The man just kept on reclining and just chewing his groundnut or whatever he was doing. He said, my master, you didn't hear what I said? Look at them, the band of the Syrians, they have come. He said, Lord, this boy is disturbing me. Please open his eyes. If he sees what I'm seeing, he'll stop shouting like this. So the Lord opened the boy's eyes, and he saw chariots of fire surrounding the mountain between them and the band of the Syrians. And the boy understood why the master was reclining. So that was the kind of person I was. Driving a car. So? I will do like this, and planes will come to carry me from where I am. So? So now, it's just looking at a face. This is a face. Listen, this is a face. Look, you know one of the men I admire most in this life is this man, Bishop Oyedepo, for one simple reason. I started listening to him preach when he was very little. And I kept on watching him. All the things he said kept on, before my very eyes, they kept on happening. When the Bible talks about cloud of witnesses, I added him to my cloud of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses means those who have demonstrated the working of the power in the word of God. I told my wife, see her here, you can ask her honestly. She will tell you the truth. I told her, like Archbishop Idahosa told his wife, I will take you to every continent on this earth. Every single continent. And not two average people are coming and say, let's buy some jewelry when we are going so we can sell and make money when we get home. God forbid. When you want to travel to go and buy jewelry, you will carry my plane, enter, go to Dubai, buy jewelry and come home. But when I am going, I said even when I go to visit there, I must put plenty of pounds in my pocket. When I get to my friend's house, not because there's nowhere to stay. If I don't have, I will pay for a hotel and stay there. So when I'm in a friend's house, I will spend the money that's worthy of a hotel in that house. So that anytime we come, they know a giver has come. A lot of people, nobody likes them coming. You know why? They are takers. And you get why you want to take me out? He's already giving you a bed. Hey, you want to take him out again? Oh, you finish? Man, this is your phone. I like you. So can I take it? Hey, the guy said, when are you going back to Nigeria? No, when I'm going, I'll be bearing gifts. You know what I mean? I have a trunk full of gifts, and I open it. Okay, this